Hello, welcome back to the world famous. Yes, we name our own adjectives here. Welcome back to the world famous Classic Black Dude Podcast with your host, Clark Jones. Y'all know me, aka Pod Strickland. We are here with another episode. This is a one-on-one joint, so I'm so excited about it. So much black dude news is happening right now between the Oscar nominations. Eddie Murphy still in the news and his return, and Bad Boys, that's a big thing. Ooh. Like, yo, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence are on a tear with all of their PR. Cory Booker, just to put a timestamp on this episode, Cory Booker just dropped out of the race for president of the United States. You got to be specific because black dudes just be running for everything. Mm. And Marshawn Lynch gave some dope-ass advice that you can't, not just for football players, but for every black dude out there about having your money right. So we're going to talk about all that. We got a great guest today, man. My man's actor, stand-up comedian, Fashion Nova. Fashionisto, my guy from Atlanta originally.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Representing my guy, Tone Bell.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me.
Fashion Nova.
You put a comma or a hyphen in there somewhere.
I can't say all in one word because then, you know, they'll sue. Like, yeah, oh, you can't be. So it's Fashion Nova.
Yeah, I got
all
you.
Lowercase.
I appreciate that.
For both words. How you feeling, man?
I feel good.
How's 2020 starting out for you?
Slow.
Nice. It's more same, right?
Yeah. It's you know, it's out here. It's like, you know, you're LA is different because you don't feel like the seasons change. So it just feels like it continue, man.
Yeah, but, there was no break.
It's been fine, though. I mean, like, you know, working on the project. I mean, I have my project. Other than that, it's just some writing, but slow. Only one show so far this year. It's already 2 weeks in.
First time I met you, I always do this with every guest. I believe was Zany's in Chicago.
In Chicago.
With our friend Dave Hellum.
Yep.
Who y'all met back in Atlanta. Y'all both
We weren't even doing comedy when we met.
You still work for Budweiser, right?
I was working for Budweiser, yeah.
Ad exec? Like, how far?
No, when I met Dave, I started from the bottom.
So wait, so like driving around in a Budweiser car?
No. That eventually happened. No, I started off with the whole like just being in bars and the keychains and the beads and like buying beers to people. I started off just doing the promos.
You were a promo girl.
I was a promo girl. I was a bad bitch doing wearing tank tops.
With the halter and the skirt and the, hey, can you go and talk to us for a second?
Hey,
come on.
No, guys, I'm working. I can't.
What are the rules with that? Because I always see, like, I see them
as
out.
As far as what, like the social rules?
What can you not do? Like, can you not drink with the patrons? Could.
I mean, of course, they don't want you, like, drive. You know, like, if you're the one having a beer, then, of course, you can't drive to the next spot.
They don't want you to drive.
Right. So somebody has to be, you know, one or two people in a group of, like, four or six. You know, if it's six people, got to be two drivers. But if it's, like, you know, three or four people, one driver. But there has to be a DD.
What was it like selling Budweiser in Atlanta? Did black folks drink Budweiser?
I mean,
Michelob.
Black people will take it.
Because it's free. They'll take a sample. Like, no, like, it ain't coming back.
Like when the Michelob flavors came out, those were hot.
Michelob Ultra women, flavors. Yeah.
Women like love that. But like Lime was coming out, so like people like that. Shock Top was coming out.
I don't even remember Shock Top.
It's with the orange. Like it's like Blue Moon, but with like the orange slice or whatever. So that was our Blue Moon. Budweiser hard. Yeah. Unless we're like one of those bars where like a 55, 60-year-old black dude always been drinking Budweiser for 40 years.
That's just his
And we ain't got to sell him, but it was like, hey, man, thank you for your service.
He was already drinking Budweiser.
Yeah.
And then you just gave him a little top off.
You put in enough time and effort.
Okay.
So we get, you know, hey, man, take two. That's on us.
You got to know your base.
Got to know your
base. How long did you do that?
I mean, that's when I went to, because I started in Dallas. I started my comedy career in Dallas. So
at Steve Harvey's Comedy Club?
He didn't have a club in Dallas when I was there.
Okay.
I started in 08.
Okay.
So that club, I know you're talking about, because Hope Flood used to do it, I think, a lot.
Yeah,
when I met her,
Hope Flood.
Her and Rudy Rush.
You just have these random facts. Hope Flood and Rudy Rush. I hope whoever listens to my podcast.
You brought up Steve Harvey's comedy
just
club.
Know, well, Steve Harvey hosts Family Feud. Everybody fucking knows him. You say, and
people checking for his club.
Right,
and now,
right. How do you say Steve Harvey, Hope Flood, Rudy Rush? That was like, this is a black ass episode, first of all.
Hey, man. Rudy Rush also hosted
The Apollo.
The Apollo, which
That's
Steve
true.
Did too.
That's true. And they had a big. Everybody's coming out against Steve right now. I don't want to veer too much forward.
Hey, man, I was on the show. Me and Steve.
You
were
on Family Feud? Oh, no. You was on Apollo.
Steve Harvey show.
Oh, you was on Steve Harvey show.
I was on Steve Harvey show.
For what were you
twice? Promoting? I was on the twice promoting shows.
Promoting yeah. the special too.
The special. I just promote the special as well. Yeah, yeah.
Can't cancel this as a special.
Can't cancel this.
And we're gonna talk about that in a second. But back to okay. So you're doing Budweiser. Started at the bottom. How long were you doing that?
So yeah. So I went from promotions to actually working for the company because that was a promotion job. Was like an agency. You work with the company, but not for the company.
Gotcha.
And then okay. I transitioned over to working for the company in like. Early mid 06.
Okay.
And then mid 07 is when they moved me to Dallas. But I was already living like Miami and then New Orleans for a little bit, for mm-hmm. like 4 months apiece. Then they moved me to Dallas and then got to Dallas and I started doing stand up.
That's so funny. And I love to give insider tips like on the industry, on the show, how people don't understand. You don't work with certain companies, you work with a company that works with a company.
Yeah.
Right? Like I do NFL on Fox segments. I've never met one NFL exec or Fox exec. I work with a company that works with
yeah.
the NFL.
It's auxiliary company.
It's proxy.
Yeah.
I work proxy to.
I work for USMP, the okay. United States, U.S. Marketing Promotions Agency.
Gotcha.
Who had a contract with Anheuser-Busch.
Yes.
So I work for them. And then I met a dude who worked for Anheuser-Busch. He was like, yo, you got a degree? And I was like, yeah. He was like, send me an email. Send me your resume, send it to him, and then I basically got the job from that. And then, like, I just jumped over to the company.
White dude or black dude?
Black dude.
Yep.
Yep.
Atlanta. That's how Atlanta works.
He was from St. Louis, but he was also my frat brother. He was, That's probably yeah. one or two times straight up where people go like, what's a fratern? Like, does it help in the
it's
workforce?
It's everything.
It did at that point.
It's everything.
It did at that point.
Yeah, you're like the fourth member of Alpha Phi Alpha I've had on the show? Yeah, I went through it with my boy Ulysses, both members of Alpha Row chapter at Morehouse College.
Oh, yeah.
And Dave Hellum. Actually, so you're the third. Where'd you go through the process? I was gonna say pledge. It was on the tip of my tongue. Like, where'd you go through the intake process?
What was that? Was that Hunger Games?
I might have been
through the process.
It was definitely a process on Hunger Games. And it's similar.
I'm Spring 02 Delta 8 of Savannah State.
Savannah State. HBCU?
Yeah. HBCU.
What made you go there?
Scholarship.
Okay.
I wanted to be far from home.
Okay.
And even though like Georgia State, Morehouse, and Clark had like mass comm TV film programs, it was like, I need to be. Plus I was scared to be in Atlanta, man. I ain't gonna lie to you. I just knew, cause I had a lot of access already. Like I was already kind of doing stuff. And,
right,
and,
okay.
And my best friend from high school owns Magic City. Like we was already doing wild stuff.
Yeah.
And I just knew they're like, man, if I stay here, I'm gonna get somebody pregnant. I ain't gonna finish.
Yeah, it was 2000, around 2000, 2001, where like Atlanta was like magically, it was like Oz.
It was coming to.
It was scary, but like magical at the same time. Yeah. Because that was my first time I went. When I went to Morehouse, two things. I was like, I don't want to get any girl pregnant. I don't want to catch that package.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was I used to wake up in sweats. Because I was just, and I wasn't even having sex yet. I was just scared because this is what they kept telling us.
And you see
us.
It, and you would see it. I mean, seeing my boys with strollers, seeing like every girl I went to high school with, they got pregnant,
right?
And just like, because I went to small private schools because I had some troubles in high school, junior high, high school.
Okay,
but like everybody I knew from the school I went to and outside of was like catching, like maybe. Shooting the club up, was having. Yeah. Having, strollers and they like life is over, but it was like you having to take a back seat. And I was like, man, I can't do that. So yeah. Savannah was like just far enough away and just big enough. And it was a black school. It was what I was used to.
Did you go to college for you or for?
I went to school for my mom.
Went to school for your mom.
Yeah, I didn't. Yep. I mean, I'm glad I went.
It wasn't against your wishes.
No.
But the.
Because I wasn't going to go. If she, like, we had to talk on the steps one night and she cried. And was like, you got in. I got into a couple schools. I got into probably 10, 12 schools that I applied for. Probably didn't get into two.
You do the mass application for HBCUs?
No, I didn't know that was the thing.
You could apply for like 17 of them.
With one application?
With one application. Consolidation, my brother.
No, I didn't know about that.
They got the mass one.
Like, I got to Georgia, because I was working at Georgia State, too. I was working there in the summer in between my senior year and freshman year. And because I hadn't really decided like where I was gonna go yet, And I was making like decent money, and my mom, man, she had that, you know, that.
It's just something about putting that thing on the wall, man.
She had a degree. She wanted to be proud, you know. She's and I was like, she goes, like, well, just give me. You can go to Hollywood if you want to, but just give me your phone. Yeah.
you're still a baby. Just go to college, and then you can do whatever you want to by the time you're 35.
Just, you know, because college, look, it ain't about what you're going to learn. It's about it's about completing a task. It's letting you know that you yourself can complete a task. You're going to set out to do it, and you do it, and then at least lets you know that in the future, whatever else you want to do, you're able to. And I was like, she goes, you'll still get out of 2021?
Right.
And I was like, all right, let's go.
And you and your mom have a tight relationship.
We super tight, yeah.
Super tight.
Yeah.
You grew up with dad, too?
Yeah, or? Yeah. Okay. I mean, they still married. They're 40 still married. Years, yeah.
But you and your mom are like...
Oh, we much ages. Tighter. We much tighter, okay. Yeah. I mean, me and my dad talk, but me and my mom, like, talk. And most of the stuff he knows, he gets from her.
Were they supportive with the comedy transition?
Oh, they didn't understand this at all. Because ain't nobody in my family who do entertainment.
Right.
Same. You know what I mean? So it was like, they want to support, they just don't know how.
I wouldn't say the opposite, but I have a lot of family who are entertainers. Okay. But the idea of breaking out into like being on TV and stuff was like nobody had ever crossed that threshold. Like I come from a family of musicians.
Is it still like hobbyish?
It would seriously, but like that like Chicago was Hollywood for black folks for a long time, whereas like, you know, you had the Jacksons and Soul Train started here.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
All this stuff was like, they never got that call to come out to LA.
Right.
So, but you start there. It's almost like going to New York to start stand-up comedy, and then you get, you know, you meet your agent, manager, whatever.
Right.
Chicago was that for black musicians for the longest. So, like, a lot of, my uncle plays the guitar, my nephew plays the organ, all of my aunts and uncles can sing. Everybody can sing except my mom. It's so funny. But
do you tease about that?
So she just became a good person. Everybody, because
did you ever like?
I didn't even know that. I found out at the funeral that my mom felt some sort of way about that. Her twin brother can sing. Her twin brother sang at the services, and I didn't even know she was the only one who couldn't carry a note. And she always felt some sort of way about that. But she got all these other gifts. She was fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I came from that. So, I like, to see someone pursue entertainment and actually, like, yeah, I'm going to be on Fox this Sunday.
Right.
And then, even then, like, how's your because I know, like, even with any good news, I don't announce it until, like, can go back and watch it.
Right.
Like, do you still get, because your special was called Can't Cancel This. So how is your, like, resolve right now for when you're promised something or something to say, like,
ooh. I still hold back.
Yeah.
I still hold back. I mean, because, like, I look at every job like it's my first job.
Okay.
I look at it like, I look at my bank account like it ain't nothing in it. I look at every job like, oh, man, true. This is a blessing. It ain't
so
true.
So you lie to yourself.
I do lie to myself to keep it fresh. I got to keep it fresh.
Yeah.
Like I tell my parents, I tell like my best friend from college, like, you know, he's always kind of in the know, but then I'll hold stuff for months before I ever let it go. Like, I mean, even the announcement about me selling my pilot, I mean, like they told me they're going to buy it before I pitched it.
Okay. So
it was kind of like, hey, if you got something solid and come over here with the right team, we're probably going to get that.
We're team tone.
And so then we put together enough, you know, of a package, and then, you know, they were like, okay, we'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew it, like, early October.
Okay.
But I didn't say nothing until, like, 3 days before Christmas.
Until deadline. Have you had the deadline article yet?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, okay, so you posted that already.
Yeah, but I posted that. But
that's
you know
the
what?
Official.
But you know what? The small win on this one was not the deadline article. What's crazy is I was like, I wanted to be on deadline. But I want the deadline article to make it to Apple News.
Oh.
I look at Apple News Apple more than News. I look at Instagram or Twitter or whatever.
You got the alerts?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't have them on, but I have like my outlets picked, my 20 outlets of, you know, 5 sports, 5 entertainment, 5 gotcha. Like political, okay.
Health.
And 5 like like world, like what's going on. And yeah, so like I was like, oh shit! I was like, you know, I saw that come up like
it's official.
Like, Tone Bell still, and I was like, yeah, they,
Tone
Apple
Bell
News, baby.
Is represented by Dave Vecchi and none. Who you with?
I'm with Black Box. Black Box Management. CAA is my agent. Okay. And then I got a big... I know my lawyer's name, but I'm not gonna put his name out there for anybody. But he switched companies, so I don't.
I only ask because shit, they working from the outside looking in. They look like they working for you.
Yeah, and like stuff is good. I'm also like low key. I'm not a diva, but I am nervous.
Okay, so you want to follow up and make sure.
So I'm like, what looks cool? Like I got everything handled to everyone on the outside. Yeah. Is me a lot of times frantic with them going. Yo, man, y'all better call me more. I need to hear from y'all more. Don't. Because I hear everybody's like, I haven't talked to my agent in 2 months. I'm like, is he still your agent?
Yeah, because there was no formal paperwork.
How?
There was no, like, I'm going to be with you.
We need to talk multiple times a week.
It's just all a relationship. It's literally like a pre, there's no, I don't know if this happened with you, but even with management, there's no, I've seen people do signing where it's like, all right. But most of the time.
Done it once.
It ain't until there's a transaction, there's nothing formal.
Right.
That's how it starts off. You're just like, hey, well, we love to work.
We should do this.
Let's change emails. They'll send you dailies or whatever. Yep. Once you get something, then that's when the relationship
starts.
Is right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like having sex for the first time.
Well, and it's.
this is official now.
Now we
not just playing around. Okay.
Now we together.
But now we also, now we
also
together.
I'd be a better, I'd probably be a better boyfriend or partner if I communicated to women the way I want my agents to communicate with me. The way I demand them to communicate with me, if I communicated I ask for my agents to communicate the way women ask me to communicate, and I just realized that talking to you just now.
Damn.
I just had an epiphany.
Would you give them more than 10% or are you keeping it at 10 like you do with the agent? we got to take a quick break here on Classic Black Dude. We're going to talk some more about, everything. Tone Bell. Can't cancel this. My guy, straight from the A-Man. We're back right here on Classic Black Dude with your host, Clark Jones, a.k.a. Pod Strickland. Let's have some fun. All right, and we are back here on Classic Black Dude with my man Tone Bell. I'm your host, Clark Jones. We're talking about how Tone likes to treat his women. He needs to treat his women like he treats his agent and communicate more and talk more.
That's true.
You're a single dude right now, yeah?
Yeah.
Because the, man, listen, I ain't even going to lie. I posted in the story a photo we took at Knitted Factory in Brooklyn, and I got like 3 messages. Not about me, but about you. And,
when we did the
shoot thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's just you got fans. You got fans once again by proxy.
They never reach out to me.
Really?
Man, it's
don't reach out.
I hear like, I mean, some do, but it ain't the ones I
Black
want.
Women?
Yeah.
Black women make the first move on you.
Sometimes.
That's wild.
But they usually from aggressive cities.
Like Detroit?
Detroit, Atlanta, DC, Chicago. Houston.
Oh, Houston for sure.
I mean,
black at Oakland.
Oakland.
Black New Orleans, cities. Yeah. New Orleans.
Yeah. Black cities, they'll
all of Florida. All of Florida don't give up.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Everywhere but Orlando. Tampa, Miami, Jacksonville, Tallahassee for sure.
What's that like? I mean, because you're not officially married. I don't know if you seeing somebody.
I'm dating. Yeah.
Exclusively?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, like, I will. I'm really not even sleeping with her, though. That's the thing. Is like, we hang out, but we not. I don't have like a. I'll hang out with whomever. Okay. If I'm like, especially at this age, if I'm exclusively, if we're hooking up, sleeping together, then I will not hang out with anybody else. But
okay. Yeah.
But I'll spend more time with you. But I don't know. Like, but I will hang out with whoever else. Like, I ain't taking you to dinner. I'll go to dinner with you.
We going
to not set up an expectation.
It's weird. I have this weird, sexually it's like, okay, I don't sleep with somebody else, then go back to that person.
Right.
So like, if I sleep with somebody else, that's who I'm sleeping with now. And then I'm sleeping with, it's never like, you know, I'm never sleeping with
juggling.
Multiple people.
I'm not doing that whole like, I don't want that time constraint. I don't want like, have to deal with that. I mean, when I was younger, yeah. I mean, I do that whole thing of you know, pissing people off and getting caught and all that kind of shit.
Being reckless, being like, messy.
Super messy. Super messy.
I just like, look, we left that trail there. I know where that trail stopped. It's not like, I ain't got to have two conversations.
Right.
I like, if something go wrong, I know who to talk to.
Who to apologize to.
I know the time frame of when the last time we messed. It's never like, damn, it could be her or it could be her, whatever. It's just, because it's been cut off.
And you know the hardest part of that is like, is the at night and in the morning conversations. Like, I got to text 3 to 4 people. I'll catch up with you later, tomorrow, good night. Good morning.
Yeah.
What you up to today? 3 or 4 people doing as I am not doing all that.
It's just, and then like, it's not just you.
I already communicate poorly. You want me to do this 4 times?
Right. And it's not just like a, hey, good morning, say something back and that's the end. It's the start of a whole conversation. It's, so you got to be engaged.
And plans. And like, I got to know what you doing and what I'm doing and share my schedule with you so I can talk about next time I'm going to see you. And then schedule that with multiple people? No, it's like, it's not.
You seem different. Like, and this happens with a lot of comedians I see. You seem different interpersonally than what people would expect. Do you get that a lot?
Yeah.
Like, you're different than I thought you were going to be. what's that? Like, break that down for me. Like, how are you different than, what do you get the most?
People think I'm very cocky.
Yeah.
People think I'm very confident in, like, the direction I want to move, but okay. But not so much as in, I think I'm the best at some shit.
Yeah,
I think like if I pick a direction, I'm like, you're not gonna get in my way,
right?
But I'm not like, oh, I'm better than everybody else here. I'm not that dude. Like I am kind of an asshole, but like friendly. You know what I mean? Like I'm more of like it's sarcasm, not, but also like I'm endearing and I care and you know, I'm compassionate. But I don't know, man. But I've gotten that since high school. People think. Like, oh, you think you're the shit. You think you're the shit.
Why is that a bad thing?
And I'm like, well, somebody got to pat me on the back. If nobody else is, I got to keep myself going. You know, so like, but I don't really care, man. I really don't.
It's hard.
What people do have a perception up front.
They think, like, even with women, they think you a player just because you look like Langston Kerman. Like, what is anybody who look like Langston? Women think you have you gotten confused with them? You've gotten confused with them.
But like, I mean, Langston more than probably Jerron, Langston. Who else? There's one more.
Oh, there's a million LA guys.
But I get like top three, and then the only once or twice maybe like Billy Sorrell. But I'm like his hair. That's distinct. So Billy's not wearing a hat. Yeah, I wear a hat a lot. But Billy got it's unbelievable. Billy hair look like some shit. You like how much one of them cost?
They're like, Billy Sorrell's gonna wear a hat. think he gonna
Billy
throw
got
us
the
up.
Waviest goddamn hair you've ever seen.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
It's fucking perfect.
And he keep it like you never see Billy without his. I wonder where he wear to sleep to keep that hair. You think he do it every day?
At Billy Sorrell's, no, because he don't have that line. On the, I'd never
if you wore something every night, like he'd have a line.
He'd definitely have, he'd unless have a line. He got like some new type. He would have some sort of.
I wonder what his brush budget is.
He probably got the double, the 2-on-1.
The flip, so the you flip, can flip
so
it.
So it's soft air military.
That's
style.
An investment. Jamaica's going to be the closed more than it's open. Like, look, man, it's going to be spots.
The hours are like random every day.
They roll dice.
2 o'clock is like, to say, I don't go before 2. I know 2 o'clock they're going to be open. Even if they open at 11, 12, whatever time they open. They open at 2. And they close at 3.
Some stuff is. They make one pot of stew and it's like, you better come get it.
That's all the stew we made. We ain't
when
got
we
that.
Finish this rum punch we made.
Man. Oh, God. These plantains, this is it. That's all we got left. I'm like, who going to eat a whole plate full of
you plantains? Know what makes me mad when I go to a Jamaican spot is when it takes me like 35 minutes to get stew. I know it's ready. Yeah. I know, nobody's making stew right now. Yo. I know it's ready. If you're making rice, okay. But come back and tell me, hey, man, we ran out of rice. We're making more rice. But I know what I'm asking
you
for is ready.
You know that stew been ready since last night.
Man, it was already.
The lady told me they don't
but
have
but it's
no
so
more...
good, you'll wait for it.
Yo, the lady told me they didn't have no more grape sodas. It was a whole rack of grape soda right underneath. I'm looking, we both, she looked at it. She acknowledged that we saw her look at it. We don't have any more. And I'm just like, what the... I really want this chicken.
Why don't you want me to have this?
Why? It's just they don't want you to get too, to think life would just be given to you, right? It's like to keep you humble. They like to say no. It's a part of Jamaican culture. Even if they got it, they say no. You got to beg.
Well, what's that right there?
And
they won't turn around.
Yeah. We was just like, we ain't got that. What you want? And so we got Diet Coke. That's what she offered me.
Do you ever go to Sat Down?
No, what's that?
That's a Jamaican spot. Over. That's the only one I know of.
Is that what part of town?
He better not. He's sniffing. Hey, come here.
We got Oliver in the studio. Oliver. What kind of dog is Oliver?
He's a little terrier mix. Come here. Get up here so people can see.
Terrier mix.
Come here.
We're going to take a picture with him later. Man, I love dogs. That's another thing. Patrice talked about, like, black dudes do not hate dogs.
No, we don't
hate
dogs.
Or pets.
We hate the responsibility, I think, sometimes. If you're not ready for it or I don't want extra responsibility, then that's what we hate.
Pets suffer.
And also, people who grew up in the 80s, mm-hmm. born and grew up in the 80s, our dogs were outside a lot.
Okay. Always. They never came in the house.
I mean,
only backyard.
You had a backyard dog tied up. That's how you knew.
Rain, sleet.
You away for the weekend.
You know why? Because we only had big ass dogs.
Big Rottweilers.
So they couldn't come in the
house. And German Shepherds and all kinds of shit. Yeah. Like,
and oh man, the backyard has so much wet dog shit. I would hate for like a black dog to grow up in Seattle where it rained. Like it was just a shit mudslide.
We had a dog when I was like, this is our first house. We come out the MLK apartments, but you was probably in school when they were still up right off of 20.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that's where I was like first spot I grew up in.
Really? Like right in the West End?
In the hood, yeah. So wow. So we moved from there to Decatur, like off of then I moved off of like Candler Road. Not too far from South Decatur Mall. So like it was like grew up there, and then like our first house, we got a dog, and had this dog for like maybe a year because we had moved in between. Dad got a better job. We moved, and then we didn't know how to take care of a dog. I'm too young. Parents working a lot. My dad on a Saturday morning, drove this dog out to the country, like 25 miles, dropped him off, and then came back home, and they told me the dog ran away.
Fuck.
And I'm like, I'm crying and shit. Like on a Monday or Tuesday, the dog's at the front door.
Found his way.
Came back. Swear to God, came back.
He had to hitchhike.
And then my parents.
Why the fuck did a dog?
My dad, are you farting? My dad.
He said, don't look at me while I'm doing my business.
My dad was like, my parents were like, oh man, we don't know what happened to. Came back. His name was Barney. Barney came back. And then the next weekend, right. I'm happy. He came back. He knew where he belonged. The next weekend, my dad drove him at night because he was like, maybe the dog saw the direction where we was going.
Yeah.
Drove him at night and then never saw him again.
He ran away twice.
Ran off
on the plug.
Man, could not believe, like, and then I didn't know until like, they started laughing. We were like at a family reunion like a couple years ago. And they started laughing, being like, oh, he don't even know.
Damn, bro.
But that's when we didn't have to respect dogs like we do now. You know what I mean? Like, dogs weren't people yet. This is like 80...
Dogs didn't
Nine.
Have Instagram accounts back then. There was no, it was just, the only thing I knew about dogs was whatever they did with Buck on Married with Children.
Oh.
That was the only dog.
What was John Candy's dog in that movie?
In Uncle Buck?
Was it Uncle Buck where John Candy had the dog with the, he had the St. Bernard. Didn't John Candy have a movie with St. Bernard?
No, was it, did he? That sounds familiar. Was it Cool Runnings?
That might have been Cool Runnings.
I think it was Cool Runnings. He had a big ass dog. Cause that makes sense.
That makes sense. Okay, all right.
Jamaican bobsled team.
Jamaican.
Shout out, man. That's another classic black dude reference. That was a great movie.
Leon.
Dougie Doug.
Dougie Doug. Man, Dougie Doug was popping.
Dougie Doug was working.
Yeah.
House Party, not House Party. Class Act.
Class Act.
And he was on
Homeboys in Outer Space.
He was on Cosby too.
He was. Oh no! Not. The Cosby Show.
Cosby.
He was on Cosby.
And Cosby Mysteries, I want to say.
Oh, throwback. I ain't heard Cosby Mysteries in a long time.
And Felicia Rashad was on both, too.
I've been watching. I'm on episode 16 of season 8 on the Cosby Show. I rewatched the Cosby Show recently.
Does any of the things happening affect your ability to watch it?
When I started, yeah.
At first.
And they're throughout the seasons, there might be, I'm going to say, 4 to 5 episodes that it's dialogue, but he says something where you're like,
that's creepy. Well, just the idea that he had to be an OBGYN, that was his idea with his office in the basement. Come on, bro.
And there's so many of the people
that
were guest stars on the show.
Guest stars, a lot of the
women's.
It never. Here's the thing.
But the show holds up, and like you hate to, and the girl hang out that I'm hanging out with now, like we watch it together a lot.
Hanging out with
the girl I'm dating now, like, and I mean like not that we, like we, I don't know. It's like it's we spend a lot of time together, but we don't. It's not physical. It's not that mm-hmm. level of intimacy. Just because I know if we go down that road,
ain't no going back.
It's not going back. So I don't want to jump into something I'm not ready for and ruin a friendship that I have with her. But like mm-hmm. I probably should. I mean, like she's great. She really is great. But I mean, she was saying it before. She was like, "This show is so good. It's hard. It's very difficult to like. No, I can't love this as much as I want to.
You know.
But the show is phenomenal. I mean, it's so
this show. Yeah, that's indisputable. Holy the thing God. Is, and I know this. You grew up with your dad. I never looked at Bill Cosby or Cliff Huxtable as my dad. I was always able to just enjoy the show as a show.
Okay.
It never meant more to me, or he never meant more to me than he would. I had a dad, and I had good black dude role models.
Do you think, how old was your dad?
How old is he?
Yeah.
My dad was born in 58, so he's 62?
61, 62. Okay, so yeah. My dad will be 60. Yeah, so my dad will be 64. My dad's born in 56. Do you think he learned how, like, techniques? Because
dad did.
I watch now, and I'm like, oh, my dad thought he was Dr. Huxtable.
That punishment sound like my punishment.
Man, I'm rewatching it, and I'm like, oh, this nigga treated me like I'm Theo.
Even playing one parent against each other, that's the one thing. It was a representation.
Yeah.
But even as a kid, I knew that this was a character.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, like, just finding out stuff later, so, like.
Because does he do this? I mean, my dad took so much. He borrowed a lot from Dr. Huxtable as far as the. Well, you know, back in 70, he got all that.
Oh, he was still in material?
Oh, my dad, to this day, my dad coming here right now, he's like, Clark, let me tell you something. Yeah, I spent a little time in Chicago when I was.
When I ran track at Hillman.
And everybody's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I don't even know if I'm separating the art from the artist. I am, but, like. If somebody want to watch the Cosby Show, it's available to watch.
Yeah.
You can go on Daily Motion. You can go on YouTube.
It's on Amazon. That's why I'm watching on Amazon Prime right now. I'm watching on Prime Entertainment.
I just don't have to post every fucking thing that I'm watching.
Right.
Unless I want the smoke. I don't personally watch the Cosby Show anymore just because I go through cycles with shit. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I watch Seinfeld for a year, then I watch it for 3 years. I watch the whole Office.
See, I was like that with Cheers. I did Cheers last year.
I'm in my Cheers cycle right now.
Cheers is phenomenal.
But I don't like Diane as much as I like Rebecca.
I don't know. Diane was like, because you know who I realized I didn't like on the Cosby Show?
Who?
I can't stand Sandra. Sandra was never a problem until this rewatch, and I'm like, Elvin is hilarious,
Elvin's
by the way.
Elvin's hilarious.
Elvin is so funny. He picks up a lot of slack.
Yeah,
for Sandra, and I didn't realize how funny Elvin was because like
he played an important part. I don't know. It was almost like they played the same role, but Elvin's was like elevated.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Well, he elevated it. He elevated it.
Exactly.
Like when she went. I mean, because there's scenes where like
Jeffrey something.
He should be. Yeah, he should Jeffrey, be holding yeah. this. Owens
Jeffrey Owens. Yes, yes.
Like he should be
Gordon Gartrell.
Well, who was a producer? I didn't know that was a real person.
That was a real set designer or clothier.
That's a producer on the show, Gordon Gartrell. Yeah. Which I'm like, I should have known that, man.
But it's wild.
It's wild. It's crazy. But like, I do like Diane.
You prefer Diane over Rebecca?
I don't prefer Diane. Is annoying, but I like who Sam is because Kirstie Alley takes the power from Sam.
Kirstie Alley does take the power from Sam.
He's not as alpha male with her as he is with Diane.
And
which was a good switch up though.
Their characters aren't as polar as Diane and Sam. Like Sam and Rebecca are more complimentary,
mm-hmm.
and Diane and Sam are like opposites.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
well,
like,
I feel like Sam already knew what to do to get Diane. In the grand scheme of things, like, mm-hmm. I know if I become this dude, you want me and I want, you know, like, I can have this. But he knows it's the chase that he loves from Diane.
Right.
Like, not so much as being with her. When it comes to Kurt, I think he just, like, going toe-to-toe.
This is why it's such a great show with great writers, just the way that they came up with these relatable dynamics. Because Rebecca wasn't as hoity-toity as Diane, but she was just a different type of woman.
She was super strong. She was like, I mean, she had that alpha male energy you didn't see from a lot of women, and especially in the '80s.
Right.
Not in the '80s. I mean, she's like
shoulder pads.
Bro, yeah. I was just about to bring them shoulder pads up. She rocked a lot of shoulder, and she was like, she was a boss. You know what I mean? Okay. Then towards the end of that, Sam kind of got his swag back, and then she was kind of started losing it and kind of getting insecure. So like,
right.
But they had a nice balance. I liked Kirstie Alley years a lot too. But I got a new respect for Diane because I always was like, Diane, I didn't like it. I like Diane a lot.
Rebecca years were a lot sillier. The Diane years were a lot more romantic.
Sure.
Damn. Two black dudes breaking down Cheers.
Breaking down Cheers.
First time ever on a black podcast. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with my man, Tone Bell. We might even talk about some current events or not. We're just having a good conversation. So glad that he's here in the studio and we're talking about this. We're right back on Classic Black Dude with your host, Clark Jones. We are back here on Classic Black Dude. Got my man Tone Bell, comedian.
Yeah.
He got his own Showtime special.
Man.
And he's starring right now.
Hope to be. We got to get this.
What shows have you been on? What TV shows?
Like that I've started or been on, period?
That you've been on, period.
Oh, Single Ladies.
Single Ladies.
Scripted, scripted or non-scripted?
We shot a pilot. How many shows have you shot a pilot for?
Just a pilot?
At minimum, a pilot.
Let's
see if we can name them all. This is like a trivia game.
Bad Judge. Truth Be Told. To My Future Assistant. My Time, Your Time.
That's four.
Good Fortune.
That's five.
Did I say Truth Be Told already?
You did say Truth Be Told. You didn't say Disjointed.
Disjointed.
Six.
Fam. I didn't do the pilot, but I was on the show 9JKL.
9JKL, that's eight.
I did the pilot, but it was non-scripted, Jerks with Cameras. I hosted that for MTV.
Nine.
ABC, Fox. Those are five.
We got to have 10. 10's a perfect number. I know there's one more. It was one. Oh, I'm thinking of Bad Judge. Where did you mention that?
Now I'm thinking studios. Like, where have I worked? And
there's one more TV. See, you said all the CBS ones?
I said all the CBS ones. Yeah.
Okay. All the NBC ones?
I think I said all the NBC ones. Oh, no.
Netflix?
No, there has to be one more NBC one. I think there is another NBC one that I can't think of the name of. I think it was NBC Warner Brothers was a studio.
You ever work with Ron Funches on anything?
Mm-mm.
He's been in a bunch of stuff. Yeah. Ron.
Me and Ron were kind of crossing paths sometimes. Like, because when he, there's some things that like he left one to go do another one, and then I. Because I saw him, he was in for Disjointed, but then he picked up something else right away.
Ooh, and there was some controversy there. He didn't like. He said some crazy things about Disjointed on Twitter.
Oh yeah, me and him went back and forth.
Really? Did you DM him about it?
No,
did it live.
I just went on. I went
just
on timeline.
Like, yo, bro.
And I was like, yo, can a nigga eat?
Yeah.
Like, why you?
People forget about the collateral damage.
But we talked about. I mean, we were fine. I mean, like, we didn't like go. Like, I was mad at him, and then it was just like, hey, man, like, wait till the show is over.
Right. And then say whatever.
You know? He was like, oh, I'm just, you know, but like we talked. I mean, it was like people were like, oh, that was.
But he did like, realize, like, you know, okay, maybe I did. You forget about the people, your friends.
Like,
sometimes,
even if I don't like the show, you could be on the show. Mm-hmm. I'm a promote the fuck. Hey, I'm a retweet it. I'm like, yo, watch my boy in the show. I could think it's trash.
Yeah,
but I want you to eat.
It's a million things that I didn't get that my friends got, and we just forget that.
Yeah,
because we're just ready to say because we're taking shots at the top of the pile, but we forget about the
our
rest
people
of the
in
pile.
It. Yeah. Yeah,
because we're just so mad at that thing. That's like when they say, like, even with the Roseanne thing. Yeah, you want Roseanne to get canceled, but when that gets canceled, all those craft services people, all those actors, all that.
What's like that thing that got brought up in the Kevin Hart documentary?
And I love that Kevin Hart documentary.
I mean,
man.
It's like it's. I mean, I still got feelings about that too, because I do think media played a part and he could have done something different. But also, like, that's just, you know, you can't do it over. How it happens is how it happens. That's how it's laid out. So, like, but, you know, you got Redemption Ford, and, like, you know, we all love Kevin. A lot of us never stopped loving Kevin. So, like,
have you worked with him? Met him?
I've met him a couple times. Yeah. He's always been cool with me. There was one time, we were both pretty fucked up. He's pretty hammered too. But he just looked at me, and I don't think he saw my hand. Maybe my hand was too low or something. But he didn't, like, shake my hand. And I was like, is Kevin mad? But I was like, he fucked up. I'm fucked up.
Sure.
And maybe I took it differently than I should, because I've had 9 Jamesons. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But he's always been dope with me. But that same thing in the doc where he was like, if people don't understand that, especially the trolls that come after him,
right,
and you want to take him down for something that, like, he's clearly apologetic for and doesn't mean, you know, like, not literally, but cool, you can come at that dude, but, like, there's hundreds of people working for this dude. It's like, you taking...
And the top person, even if that gets canceled, he's never hit the hardest as much as the assistants and the just...
These people out here still living, that's working for him, living check to check. It's like, if I lose this...
Hundreds of people who work on a television show. Hundreds.
That's the hard part.
That ain't even the actors themselves. So think about that a little bit. Just a little bit when you want to cancel some shit. I like that Roseanne was like, we still gonna have the show. We just no Roseanne on it. Because those motherfuckers need work. It's hard to get work.
Man, it's hard to get work out here.
You start budgeting for shit as soon as it gets greenlit, right?
Bro, I'm already thinking about budgets. And
already. You just did the Sundance movie? Was that the one with Sashir Zabeda?
No, that was Tribeca. This was with Tessa Thompson, Asia Naomi King, Eva Longoria. Eva Longoria plays my wife.
Eva Longoria is your wife?
Yeah, in this joint, yeah.
Man, you've arrived.
Hey, man.
Congratulations, man.
It was dope, man. I saw her last week. She's so dope, man. She's really good people. She's like one of the nicest people I've met. I mean, I've met most cool-ass people in Hollywood. Like, people I have run into have been super dope. But yeah, she was like, because, you know, I mean, we early 20s being like,
Real Housewives, right.
Bro, like, it's like, she's a fantasy. And then you meet her, and you're like, oh, dude, and you're
nice.
Tone, what's up? What's up, baby? How you doing? You good?
Tell me.
Dude, we've talked in hair and makeup, and then just in the green room for like 45 minutes, just chopping it up, talking shit. And I'm like, oh, I could have a beer with you.
Damn.
You cool as fuck. Like,
who been the best person to work with?
I'm going to say Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates from Disjointed.
Just because, like, she's been in the game longer than anybody else that I've worked with.
Yeah.
And has opinions about it a lot, but still just cool. Just like, I mean, I go over to the house and, like, we just drink tequila and smoke a joint. Like, we cool.
She ever call you Chris Redd?
Nah. She not that type of racist. Like,
because it's some cool racist. I mean, some cool people who just get motherfucking confused.
She from the South, so like she's
familiar with black folks.
Yeah, so like she's from Memphis. Like, she's like, yo, I hate most white people. She's like,
she gets it.
Yo, she cool. She's like, I mean, I'll just be at the bar kicking it, like, after a show or something, she'll just call. People are like, yo, is Kathy calling you? Yeah. And, like, and she's like, babe, what's up? What's going on? You in town? You coming over this week? And I just go to the house and we'll just go chop it up. Yeah. Or, like, I'll have a show and she's like, let me know. I was like, she's give me a table and I'll come kick it in the back. But she'll do that for Betsy and for Chris or whatever. But, like, we just go kick it, man. I went to the premiere for Richard Jewell with her. Like, she's dope.
Wow.
Yeah, she's probably the coolest.
I wish I think if they didn't have Clint Eastwood attached to that movie would do better. That was a problem.
It's such a great movie.
I mean, anything with Kathy Bates in it. Anything with Kathy Bates, Woody Harrelson. Don Cheadle.
Dude, that movie it's not a Clint Eastwood regular, like, there's always going to be a group that takes a hit. But, because even though I do like his cinematography, I do like his stories, but there's always an ethnic group that takes a hit.
Always.
But, man, the movie is hilarious and dope.
All right.
You didn't think it was going to be as funny as it is. It's very funny and, like, heartbreaking. At the same time, but it's great.
It's a political thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of politics, do you sort of deal with politics, but not really?
Well, I don't stage.
Not on stage.
I'll talk about it, but also I never have an answer. I don't pick sides, but I will discuss whatever. But I don't talk about it on stage.
But what are you following in real life? What stories? Cory Booker dropped out the race.
Cory Booker,
which I saw coming.
I mean, of course, this whole impeachment thing. I mean, I was very big on, you know, the Michael Cohen testimony and like, you know, that 8 hour, nine hour.
That was hard. All of the stuff before the impeachment. What was the thing last year with the tampering or? It was the first thing. It was like pre-impeachment.
Well, you had John Bolton was on. The Mueller report from 2 years ago. I mean, I've been trying to keep up with all that just because, like, there's, you know, as a comic, and depending on where you go, you kind of have to be, like, even if you don't know everything, you got to be able to scratch the surface.
You got to at least find out if you have something on it, right? So you listen to see, okay, I can kind of do maybe or whatever. I just want to be at least aware of it.
Now, let me ask you a question. I was thinking about this. I thought about when I was high, and this is not, I'm saying this now because I will not give my career.
What you about to say, man?
Look, I have a question. I'm not saying I'm not even saying answer with your opinion, but I do have, this is a thing that I'm trying to figure out.
Okay.
Because I read the article, did not hear the intention or a live clip, but I was reading an article that somebody in Elizabeth Warren's camp said that they heard Bernie Sanders in a meeting, like in a closed door meeting, not like some secret, but just like a, you know, just like a small meeting, candidly say like a woman can't be the president of the United States, right?
I hope he didn't say that.
Now, okay, me neither. I hope he didn't say it either. Or like, but also I wonder how he said it, because like, but here's the thing.
Because like, he does have a sense of humor.
But like, what if, and I'm not even saying it as a joke. I'm just saying, what if he was saying it as, like, what if the delivery was supposed to be with the intention, because voters would never let it happen. People in the, you know what I'm saying? It's like, not that he doesn't believe it. I'm not saying, like, if I say that, given how our country is built, with the people that elected this dude.
The context
is like, What if that's how it was meant?
Because obviously, I believe and I think.
Because I can't believe that he would say.
Well, I think voting has shown that the country is more sexist than racist. By a long shot.
100%.
Because there's this idea like, no matter what, behind it all, like at the end of the day, even if you're the most racist white man, you feel like you can have a sit down with another man before you feel like you can have a sit down with a woman. If you're racist and sexist. And they had to choose to go, all right, let me talk to this man.
Yeah.
You know.
If
I got to pick one. So if he was saying in that context, I can understand. But also, Bernie, don't say no shit.
But also, like it's like, this is right. It's like, hey, man,
please don't say no shit.
But it's like, but also to me, that's just, you know, that's how stuff gets propagandized. And like, you know, because all we got is that soundbite. What if there's a clip of like him going, shit, we all thought Hillary was gonna win and didn't. So obviously, you know what I mean. What if he was saying it in that sarcasm of being like, "We tried and we thought we did, but we didn't." So obviously, the country doesn't want it.
I need tone. I need what was said right before that.
I just thought it was interesting because I never want to think guilty first of like, man, Bernie would say that, but he's so about people getting along, getting together, and working together. I'm not saying I'm voting for him, but I. It didn't seem like something he was saying.
We're not endorsing anybody on this podcast. We're not endorsing.
Chappelle just endorsed Yang this morning, apparently.
What is going on? Him and Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Also,
I need comedians to endorse? I don't know if I do. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, but also they are game-changing, worldwide-changing artists, so maybe so.
I do think that I don't think Yang's going to get the nomination, but I do think them being political and saying, I think Yang is a safe choice because they know he's not going to win, but it's at least getting people to pay attention. If they say, then they'll start, then whoever is going to start, they're going to like, oh, let me start being a little bit more aware of what's going on. And I think Yang followers, once he loses, would funnel to Bernie maybe.
Well,
that I'm saying I want Bernie to win.
You
got to
trim
fat.
And that's how you trim fat.
You got to trim fat.
So, like, I'm going this direction to try to alleviate the pressure from somebody else. Then once this doesn't work out either, now, you see what I'm saying? Because how many left? Five?
Man.
I think there are five left.
I think it's still, yeah.
Because, like, you go Yang, Okay, you go Yang, so Klobuchar will be there still.
Klobuchar.
You'll get Warren, you get Sanders. And then Steyer, we're just waiting for Steyer to fall off.
There's no black people left running, sadly.
Nope.
And Bloomberg.
And Bloomberg. So, but I'm sorry, I'm thinking debate stage. So five's in the debate. And I don't think Bloomberg was going to be there. I think he was skipping the debate. Because,
I think he missed everything. Because
he's like, I'm over Iowa. He's like, I'm not dealing with Iowa.
I'll just pay $25 million and get the same advertisement that I would from a debate.
He's like, I ain't got time for this.
Damn. We almost wrapping up here, man. But we talked about important stuff, talked about personal stuff, we talked about shit that don't matter. Oliver's here. He's sleeping right now.
I thought he was dead. I didn't know. He hopped back in the chair.
He's just chilling over there. That was a great move to put him in the chair.
How many times he barks since he's been here?
I haven't heard him once.
Not once, baby.
He's a horrible guest. He don't talk at all. Real quick, before I go, you're from Atlanta, I just want to do a quick either or on, let's say, three or four things.
Okay.
First things, drums or flats?
Oh, flats.
Flats.
Are you a drums?
I used to be. I used to be drums. I grew up and became a flat guy.
I'm a flats dude all day.
Drums or flats? Okay. Deion Sanders or Michael Vick?
We know what Deion did. I'm going Vick just only because we don't even know what he was capable of toward the end of his career.
We're only talking about in career. We're not talking about personally, y'all. We're just talking about as a player.
I mean, we know what Deion got more. Vic. I'm going Vic still.
Going Vic. All right. Krispy Kreme or J.R. Crickets?
Krispy Kreme or J.R. Crickets?
Yeah.
Krispy Kreme or J.R.
Krispy Kreme or J.R. Crickets? You on the clock.
Krispy Kreme.
If J.R. Crickets get a hot time. Or if they go 24 hours, Waffle House or IHOP?
Waffle House.
Okay, that was the easy one. I should have started with Waffle House or IHOP.
Now you go Waffle House, Huddle House. I'm going to still choose Waffle House, but Huddle House is a... You know Huddle House?
No, I don't know Huddle House.
You went to school in Atlanta? You own a Huddle House?
I don't remember a Huddle House.
Huddle House was... I mean, it's the spinoff of... Okay, I'm going to change subject real quick. Do you remember... Were you in Atlanta when...
That's the name of a segment. Were you in Atlanta when what?
When Hardee's...
Yeah.
Sold chicken.
Yes.
It blows people's minds out here because Hardee's Carl's Jr. same.
Okay.
And they go like, they never sold. I'm like, you could get a box of chicken from Hardee's.
You could.
I'm like, and I, it's hard to prove this to people.
Speaking of which, this is the last one. This is crucial since you brought up a box of the chicken. Mrs. Winters or Popeyes?
I'm going Popeyes, but I do miss Mrs. Winters.
Oh, man.
You like Mrs. Winters better?
It was right there by the school. It was across the street. Popeyes was better, but Mrs. Winters was right there, and they fried the hell out.
Did you ever like go to Gut Busters and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Okay. Hell yeah, man. It's been a gut busting time here.
Miss Winters over Popeyes though?
Oh, it's hard.
I give Mrs. Winters one thing.
What?
Is they used to pull their chicken out the grease like Harold's, because like they'll season the chicken afterwards. Whereas Popeyes don't do that.
It's all pre.
The batter's already seasoned.
And that's what I mean. Like, different establishments, I think there's more variance in the establishments at Popeyes. Mrs. Winters, I know what I'm going to get. No matter what Mrs. Winters I go to, it's consistency. And that rules above anything. My man, Tone Bell, consistent, funny, and he just consistently works. That's why he's one of my favorite people to talk to. Somebody I look up to, honestly,
man. I appreciate that, man.
Out here in Hollywood, very humble dude. Anything you want to talk about or where can they find you?
Oh, wait, can we spend 2 minutes on talking what I brought up to you over there? Like, so this is crazy for me.
What?
That I'm playing Richard Pryor.
Oh, God, yes.
Can we wrap up with this?
You tell them about that and tell them where to find you.
Okay, all right.
This is Tone Alone.
So... So this is so this year I didn't do as much acting as I normally do this year, but so I did three period pieces this year. I did the Sylvie's Love with Tessa Thompson that's going to Sundance. I did the Billie Holiday biopic with Lee Daniels that's set in the 40s, and then I played on American Soul, Don Cornelius Soul Train show on BET. I played Richard Pryor, and they called me and offered. I didn't have to audition; they offered it to me. I know why they offered it to, because nobody was gonna do this shit.
People were nervous.
I know nobody's gonna do this. It's because we've been talking about the movie for years.
Yeah,
and I know I'm gonna get dragged.
I hope you do. Not in a bad way though. Yeah. But like that's good for.
I know I'm gonna get dragged because I didn't try to do an impression. Mm-hmm. There was like I was like, yo, I'm letting y'all know I don't do impressions, man. You got to get Jay Farrell or Mike Epps. or you know somebody who is good at that because like that's not my wheelhouse. You go get somebody who does that.
You get to the soul of the character.
And I'm like, and also this is, and they're like, no, this is not about Richard's life. This is Soul Train. and Richard Pryor stopped through. He's four scenes. He comes through to host for Don when he has to leave. So just we just want Richard to be around the studio, being reckless. You can change some dialogue. You can make your own jokes. Mm-hmm. And I paid homage to Richard like twice. A couple things I did just to be like, I got the fro, got the mustache, but also I'm doing like one little small thing. So you can be like, okay, I see what he did there.
I can't wait, man.
But I if nothing else, I know people are going to be like, oh, I know who Tone Bell is now.
Next season of?
American Soul.
American Soul. I was thinking of I'm Dying Up Here, which is Showtime.
Which they're done already.
They're done already.
But somebody did play Pryor.
I remember. That's, yeah.
I forgot
that's
who.
That's funny.
I wonder if that was a, man, somebody played Pryor.
Somebody who would be confused with you to a racist white person.
Who did it?
I forget his name, but they look like you.
I feel like it was Jocko Sims.
Could have been.
I think it was Jocko. I feel like Jocko did it. I could be wrong, but I feel like Jocko did it.
American Soul, you sold your pilot, and fucking you can still stream Can't Cancel This, and they can follow you daily where?
Tone Bell, T-O-N-E-B-E-L-L.
At Tone Bell on
all things.
Social media. I'm at The Clark Jones, T-H-E-E, Clark Jones. I just put my real name in my Twitter bio so people can actually find me now. I'm at The Clark Jones.
What was it
on
before?
Twitter. It was like one of your little friends or something funny. But it's always The Clark Jones, but they couldn't search that. So
The Tone Bell didn't work for me. I tried The Tone Bell.
They got to be able to find you. So
because The James Davis, I took it from James. When I met James, same. Like when I got here.
I got to get him on the pod too.
Oh, man, I love James. I ain't seen James in a while.
He has a lot going on.
He does. Another he got the new show. He got the new athletic show. Shout out to James Davis, man. Love that.
Shout out to James Davis. This is at Classic Black Dude everywhere. Please rate, subscribe, and comment on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you get podcasts, Stitcher. Rate, subscribe, comment, share.
I want to reiterate that you're saying rate.
Rate. R-A-T-E. Rate. Like rate. Rate, subscribe, comment. Please show us some love. If you enjoy it, just, you know, throw us some stars. Rate us. Rate us.
Rate.
Thank you so much. Take care of yourselves. And we'll be back. We'll be at the Brooklyn Podcast Festival next week. It's going to be outstanding.
Congrats.
And it's going to be live, too, with Live Pod. It's going to be great. Thank you so much. And, yeah, love you.